Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos is Zayin. We're on Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar Rav Simi. It's three lines from the bottom of the Amud, but we're going to start up a little bit earlier because a good chunk of today's Daf is all going to be predicated on the Braisa. So what I would like to do is I'm going to back up to right in the midpoint of the Amud. We're going to start again from the Braisa, and we'll go from there. But before we do so, let's get oriented. I'll start from Vav Amud Beis, halfway down. I'll show you in just a moment. So the Gemara here in Yevamos is trying to answer one simple question. It's not easy. I'll say that in general about our Gemara, but the question itself, and that is Aseh Dochelos Aseh. We know that a positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition. So that is a rule that we see throughout Chas, and this is it. The Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Dapim Dalet Hey Vav Zion. A little bit of Ches as well. So he's going to be discussing it. This is going to be the full treatment of the discussion of this idea that a positive mitzvah is going to be able to override a negative prohibition when the two intersect with one another, and you have a choice to make. So the choice is going to be that you side with the aseh over the los aseh. So how do I know that? So the answer to that question is actually really simple and super straightforward, and that is that it's based on a smuch, and it's based on the juxtaposition of two psukim found in Parshas Ki Tsetse. The Torah says that you wear tzitzis, the Torah prohibits kalim, the Torah takes these and puts them right next to one another. And what did we learn from the smuchim? The idea that the essay of tzitzis is going to override the los essay of shatnis. When you're wearing tzitzis and you're doing so with the full complement of the mitzvah of tzitzis, so then it overrides shatnis. It can be made up of wool and linen. I don't think I've mentioned it yet, but nowadays we don't do this. In other words, we don't allow ourselves to make our tzitzis out of shatnis, out of wool and linen, but that's for a technical issue. That's the problem that exists. In that when we're doing the mitzvah of tzitzis, so we're doing an incomplete version of the mitzvah of tzitzis. We don't have tchelis. I know tchelis is making a great comeback, and I'm rooting for the comeback. Whether or not I wear tchelis is a personal question. I'll take personal questions at a different time. So the, it's making a fantastic comeback. But the truth of the matter is that for a good chunk of Jewish history, we don't no longer have tzitzis b'tchelis, and we're not doing the mitzvah b'shleimusa. And so therefore, we are not performing the mitzvah essay in its full version. So that's why we don't allow ourselves to override the los essay, but it could override the los essay in theory. In practice, no, but in theory, yes. Good. So that's a simple answer to the question. But as the Gemara pointed out, good, that's essay docha los essay. How about if it's a los essay that's amped up, meaning we have a los essay sheish bokaris? What are we going to say under those circumstances? Are we going to say that an essay is going to override even a los essay sheish bokaris? And again, as I pointed out already a number of times, there are a limited number of lavim sheish bokaris, 36 in total. And even 36, by the way, is inaccurate. Truly 34. The Mishnah, in the beginning of Masechta Krisos, goes through 36 times that there are Isuri Karis. The reason why I knocked it down to 34 is because two of them are mitzvah sesei, two of them are positive commandments. Karm Pesach and Mila, positive commandments. So in terms of actual negative prohibitions that are subject to Lav Sheish Bo Karis, only 34. Although, again, I don't want to belabor the point. We're still in the introduction. But the of the 34, so some of them are like categories. So like, for example, Shabbos is one of the 34. I mean, Shabbos is huge. Shabbos has got all the malachos, and, you know, and Arias is also one of the 34. Okay, anyway, you get the point. Anyway, but there are 34 in total. There are not that many. And obviously, they're more severe. In other words, the punishment is telling us that they're more severe if there's a kares punishment attached to it. So what if the essay is up against a lav sheish bo kares? What do we say then? Well, I'll tell you what I think, and this is the Gemara's thought process now, since Daf Gimel, and that is, it sounds like that an essay is going to be docha los essay afilu sheish bakaris. How do I know that? Because I go back to the drush of the brisa on Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara on the Gimel Amud Beis brought down a brisa that said, how do I know that if Yibum introduces another erva, meaning aside from Eshesach? Eshesach, obviously Yibum is going to override. As Tosfos said, mitzvah sabekach. There's no other way to do it. Meaning that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to marry your sister-in-law, your late brother's wife. That's the mitzvah. So leave Eshesach out of the discussion. But if she's any other erva, this is what we learned on day one of our Masechta, so then you can't do that. How do I know that I can't do it? So the answer could just simply be because she's an erva. And an essay is not going to be doche a los essay sheish bokares. That could have been the answer. But that wasn't the Bryce's answer. The Bryce's answer is we have a drasha. We have a special drasha that teaches us that you can't do it. So what does that mean now? It means that had it not been for the special drasha, what it sounds like is that you could. The assay could be docha los assay afilu sheish bakaris. So what the Gemara now wants to know is, mechi tesa, how do I know that? How do I know that an assay could be override los assay afilu sheish bakaris? That's, so we had two questions, a question within a question. Question number one, assay docha los assay, where do I know that from? And the answer is tzitzis. Kalayim betzitzis. Okay, that was two dapim summarized in one sentence. And then the Gemara backs up and the Gemara now wants to know, now how do I know that an essay can override a los assay sheish bokares? So that's currently what we are discussing right now. Because it certainly sounds from daf gimel that an essay can in fact override a los assay sheish bokares. Mehechi tesi, how do I know that? With that stated, we continue now in the Gemara. Now we did this yesterday, but we're going to do it again today. Because as you're going to see, we're going to be spending a lot of time with this brisa. So, Tana Moshevos Kakashile. So, if you remember, Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshevosechem, you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos, is a pasuk in the Torah. And what does it mean, Lo Sivaru Eish? Why does the Torah have to tell me about the Malacha of Eish? There are 39 Malachas as it relates to Shabbos. The Torah only outlines one of the 39. Why only one of the 39? So, to which the Gemara says, well, it's one of two reasons. Either Lilav Yatzos or Lachalak Yatzos. Either to tell me that Eish, Havaris Eish is only a Lav, not a capital punishment, but just simply a regular Lav, it's downgraded. Well, one possibility, or the second possibility is Lachalak, to take all the Malachas and divide them. That means to say that if a person violated multiple Malachas on Shabbos, he'll be Chai for each and every one of the Malachas. Those are one of the two reasons. We know this already. So the Gemara says what we don't know and what we want to ascertain is Moshavos. What are we learning from the word Moshavos? So Moshavos matam alamar michti. Shabbos chovas agufi v'chovas aguf nogis bein b'arts bein b'chol tzaharitz Moshavos tekhasav rachman v'shabbos lam ali. So as we saw already in yesterday's daf. So we know Shabbos has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael in that it's not a chovas ha-karka, it's a chovas aguf. We're obligated to observe the Shabbos, which means that we observe Shabbos wherever we are. And why does the Torah say, Lo Sivarish Bechol Moshvo Seichem? It has nothing to do with where we live. So, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Tamadecha Lefi Shenemar. So the Gemara goes on to explain. V'chi yebi ish chet mishpat maves v'humas. So the Pasuk says that if someone's subject to a capital punishment, so there is a mitzvah, this is an unfortunate mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah to go ahead and to exercise that capital punishment, to execute. Again, like I said yesterday with the double entendre, right? To execute. So, Shomei Ani Ebein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. Now, when do we do the execution? So, as we learned back in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Mir Tzeshem, we're going to learn again together when we see it again. And that is that the moment Beis Din arrives at their conclusion, they vote, the majority came out. I'm oversimplifying. And then what do? So, there is a really short appeals process, but then they take the person out right there, and they take him right to his death. So as I mentioned yesterday, it could be that Beis Din convened on a Friday, and it could very well be that if just right before Shabbos, they concluded and they came up with a verdict, and now they're taking him out to be executed, and it could be on Shabbos. With all that stated, umani mekai mechala mos yumas. Now, killing him would be a violation of Shabbos, especially if we're talking about putting him to death through Sreifa. Truth of the matter is putting him to death through any manner. In other words, taking away a life is a malach on Shabbos. It's called Shechita. But on top of that, when it comes to Sreifa, you also have to make a fire in order to boil the lead. So I might have thought, okay, so generally speaking, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, but over here I have a mitzvah. So here we have now, and here we are at the intersection of an essay and a los assay. And again, what kind of los assay we're talking about? We're talking about a lav sheish bokares. So, mechala mosimas b'sham malachus chutz mimisas Beis Din. So, step number one of the brisa is that we're going to do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is going to override the lav. Here we go, step number two. Now, yesterday when I said over this daf, I didn't do step one, step two, step three. You'll see over the course of today's daf why I'm doing that. Step number two. Oh, einu alafilo mises Beis Din. I'm sorry. Step number one, I said it wrong. Sorry. Step number one is that we're gonna Shabbos is gonna win. That's step number one. Step number two. Oh, einu ala filo misas Beis Din umani mekayim v'humas b'chovelo b'Shabbos. That was right the first time. Ugh. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm confused and I'm confusing you. I apologize. Step number one is that the mitzvah is gonna win, meaning you are gonna put him to death. Step number two is Shabbos is gonna win and you don't put him to death. When do you put him to death? Choose another day, a weekday. And then finally, the Gemara's conclusion is no. And the conclusion is lo sevarish. No, you're not allowed to make a fire, meaning Shabbos is going to win. Okay, so we obviously are ping-ponging back and forth between, well, what should we do? Observe Shabbos? Execute? Well, which one? The Braisa is clearly going in both directions. And then finally, the Braisa concluded, lo sevarish b'chol moshe l'secha, meaning that Shabbos is going to win out. Now, contextually, when I say contextually, I really mean Gzereshava. So via Gzereshava, we know that the word Moshavos is a reference to Beis Din. And just like over there, we're by Beis Din, over here, we're also talking about Beis Din. Meaning, Beis Din, you must observe Shabbos. Well, why are we instructing Beis Din to observe Shabbos? Now we understand. Because they had an opportunity, a mitzvah opportunity, to go ahead and violate the Shabbos. So what do you do? Lo sivaru eish b'chol moshvasechem yom haShabbos. No, don't make a fire. Meaning, don't execute today. Wait until the weekday. Okay, my love. Okay, now, with all that stated, so that was the Braisa, where the Braisa was vacillating whether or not Beis Din should execute on Shabbos. Yes, no, yes, no. And the Braisa's conclusion is no. Okay, that's the Braisa. Now the Gemara says, "My love, Rabbi Nasan, hidamer lechalak yatzas." Now, what kind of love we're talking about? We're talking about the love making a fire. Now, let's assume, says the Gemara, that we're going like Rabbi Nasan, making a fire on Shabbos is not just a love, but a love sheyesh bo kares. Now, the kasa rechman lo sevaru halav hachi dachi. Had it not been for that, it would have been docha. Meaning, without the special drasha, we would have said that the mitzvah of Beis Din executing a positive commandment is going to be overriding the negative prohibition. So that is right now what we're saying. So once again, here we are, where we have found the source that tells me, Ese docha lo sase, afilu sheyesh bo kares, but Beis Din is not going to do it? Yeah, because of a drasha. Short of the drasha, the essay is going to override the low sase. So the Gemara says low. Rabbi Yose. All right, correct. Oh. That's why I need aleha. Meaning, you're right. You would be right. The hava, mean, it would be that you would be meyabim, and that's why I need aleha. Yep. So the low Rabbi Yose. So the Gemara says no. Could be the author of the Bryce is Rabbi Yose. But to have a number Rabbi Yose, the Gemara says that doesn't change anything. It does, but it doesn't. Because Amadam Rav Yosi Havar Lalav Yatsa Havar Greda. So the lighting a fire is a lot. You're right about that. But over here, we're lighting a fire, and you know what we're also doing? We're cooking the lead. We are changing, converting the lead from being a salt to being a liquid. Havar Debeis and Bishop Silahu. The Amr of Sheshes Mali Bishop Sila Mali Bishop Simonim. So as far as cooking is concerned, cooking can apply to a food, but cooking can also apply to changing lead from a solid form to a liquid form. That's also cooking. And so cooking is a malach on Shabbos, and according to everybody, a lav sheish bokares. So it doesn't change anything. So we are looking over here, a lav sheish bokares. So what we have over here now seemingly, is now a proof and a support to the idea that an essay is going to be docha lo sase, even one sheyesh bokares. Okay, this is where we got to yesterday. Now again, we did all this yesterday, and the reason why I did it again today is, number one, just to confuse myself with the Braisa. No, the reason why we did it again today is because we're going to be spending a good part of today's Amud Aleph on this Braisa that we just learned together. So we got to see the Braisa again, we got to refresh the Braisa at the beginning of this year, and now, but what we concluded yesterday, and now we're concluding right now, is that we now have a source in the Torah that tells us that a positive commandment is going to even override a negative prohibition, sheyesh bo kares. That's what it sounds like from the Braisa. I know it's confusing, and I mentioned this yesterday, because the conclusion is that Beis Din doesn't. But you have to look at why Beis Din doesn't. Beis Din doesn't because the Torah has to introduce a special drasha, which means that take away the special drasha. And where do we land on the default? Where we land on the default is that Beis Din should have done it. But in this case, we have a drasha to tell us no. And as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll quickly mention again today, I know the tricky part of the Gemara is to understand when something is an exception versus when something is the rule. Meaning over here, why isn't this the rule? Why is this assumed to be an exception? Okay, that is next level of understanding of a Gemara. I'm right now, this is a daf. We're just doing this on a superficial level. The Gemara right now is clearly understanding this is now an exception, not the rule. Which means that the rule is, Ese docha lo sase, even if it has karis. Okay. Amar Rav Simi Barashi. So continuing now in the Gemara, we're three lines from the bottom. An, vav amud beiz. Hai tanalo mishum dasya ese v'dach lo sase. So Rav Simi Barashi says, you totally misunderstood the braisa. Meaning, you didn't misunderstand the braisa, but you misunderstood what's behind the braisa. You think the braisa was going back and forth on ese docha lo sase? No, it's not. What the Braisa was contemplating was Kal V'chomer. That's the issue of the Braisa, V'achi Kamar. And so now what we're going to do is that we're going to go back, look at the Braisa again, but take away Ese Docha Lo Sase from the entire discussion, and the discussion is all going to revolve around Kal V'chomer, making arguments in order to conclude either one way or another. Now over here, how could we argue? Like any argument. We can argue in one of two different directions. But here, the arguments in either direction are going to be really strong arguments. So, v'hachi kamarmani mekai mechala mosimas b'shar malachus chutz mimisas beisdin, ava misas beisdin dach yishabas. Misas beisdin should override the Shabbos. Let's call that step number one of the Braisa. Now, mikav v'chomer, and we know that based on a logical argument, as we are now on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Uma avodashi chamor v'doch yishabas, because consider the fact that avoda overrides Shabbos. Of course avoda overrides Shabbos. What happens on Shabbos morning in the base of Mikdash? We're going to be offering the Karban Tamid in addition to the Karbanos of Shabbos. Karban Tamid, checked in Karban Tamid, is a violation of Shabbos. I know, but the Karban Tamid is overriding Shabbos. And now, v'ritzicha doch osa. Now, as far as a murder is concerned, so what are we going to do with a murderer? So that is going to be overridden over the avoda. How do I know the shenemar? Mi'im mizbechi tikachen lamus. Because here's what's going to happen. You have a Kohen who happens to be a murderer. I know that's a funny string. That's a funny sentence. But you have a Kohen who happens to be a murderer. And so what is he going to look for? He's going to look for sanctuary. So where does he go for sanctuary? He goes to the sanctuary for sanctuary. So the Torah says very clearly in Parshas Mishpatim. So what you're going to do is that you're going to take the Kohen wherever you find him. He's me'im mizbechi. He's right next to the mizbeach. And as Tosfos highlights over here, let's say he's the last, just even to make the point as extreme as possible. He's the last Kohen there. He's doing the avoda. And you say to him, I'm sorry, you're coming with us, right? You have a court date. And so you're going to take him away. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So what do we learn together? That the execution of a murderer is overriding avoda. So now follow the logical thread over here. So Ritzicha is going to override avoda. Avoda overrides Shabbos. So where should we stand regarding Ritzicha and Shabbos? Exactly. So Shabbos shenitche mimnei avoda. Inu din shenitche Ritzicha shetei Ritzicha docha osa. So that means to say now that the execution of a murderer is going to override the Shabbos. If you're following the logical string over here. So that's step number one of the Braisa. It's all Kal V'chomer. Now let's go in the other direction. Umay o eno de kamar hachi kamar. So now the Braisa says, maybe not. What's the maybe not? So now what we're going to do is that we're going to just simply go backwards on the Kal V'chomer. We're going to go in the other direction. How? How can we argue in the other direction? The Gemara is about to do so. Kvuras meis mitzvah tochiach shedoches avodah vein doches haShabbos. Because let's talk about the burial of the meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah, rachmanus. There is a, somebody died, and there's nobody to take care of that individual. No family members, whatever the case is, nobody's there to take care of it. That now falls under the category of meis mitzvah. The Gemara in Megillah, right? We just this Shabbos, we touched on this Gemara, but the Gemara in Megillah says that as far as the mitzvah of Megillah is concerned, I know, coming up, just a couple days, so the mitzvah of Megillah is going to override every single mitzvah, Talmud Torah, Avoda, right? The Gemara says, but you know what it doesn't override? It doesn't override meis mitzvah. If you have a choice between Mace Mitzvah or Megillah, so Mace Mitzvah is going to override Megillah. Mace Mitzvah is really critical. And meanwhile, well, you find the Mace Mitzvah on Shabbos. What do you do? So what you do is nothing. Meaning you don't bury on Shabbos, even though it's a Mace Mitzvah. So, Hachikam Akvurz, Mace Mitzvah Tochich Shadoches Avoda. It overrides the Avoda. That's the Gemara in Megillah. Right? Mace Mitzvah is such a critical Mitzvah, even if Avoda is going to be at a loss. Okay? In other words, Mace Mitzvah overrides Avoda. But at the same time, however, it's not going to override Shabbos. So what do you see over here? That the argument could be that Shabbos is greater than that of Avoda. Meis Mitzvah is going to be the litmus test to show us that Shabbos is greater than Avoda. So I know that we're going to take the Rotzeach away from doing the Avoda. But doesn't mean that you violate Shabbos for the Rotzeach. So Hadar Amar, Kvoros Meis Mitzvah, Titche Shabbos, Mikav HaChomer. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So then what's the next step of the Braisa? How can the Braisa then bounce back in the other direction? Because what the Braisa then says is, well, you know what? Let's reconsider. Meaning, you're right, Mace Mitzvah is really important. Do you know how important Mace Mitzvah is? Maybe, let's just put this on the table for consideration. Right. Maybe Mace Mitzvah should override Shabbos. So, Ma Avodah, she docha Shabbos kvuras, Mace Mitzvah docha asah, me valach oso, Shabbos she nitches memne Avodah, eino din she take kvuras, Mace Mitzvah docha asah. So maybe we were wrong. Maybe Mace Mitzvah should be buried on Shabbos. Now, if Mace Mitzvah is buried on Shabbos, so now where do we stand regarding Shabbos versus Avodah? So you see that Avodah is still above Shabbos. And if Avodah is above Shabbos, so that means that just like I take the Rotzeach and murder and execute him, even though Avodah is going to be at the expense, so maybe I'll do so for Shabbos as well. Or execute somebody on Shabbos. When I say we, I mean Beis Din. So maybe that's where the Braisa lands. So Tamalomar, lo sivaru eish. So that's what the pasuk comes to Tamal lo sivaru. Meaning, the Kal v'chomer could have taken us in multiple directions. And over here, I know it was a hard ping pong game match to watch. In other words, as we're bouncing back and forth. But here, what we just did in the last 20 lines of Gemara is that the bouncing back and forth is all a predicate of Kal v'chomer arguments. And we could have gone in either direction. And so the Gemara says, fine, we could have gone in either direction. The pasuk comes to inform us in terms of what to do. Okay.
I'm not you still don't know about mitzvahs.
You can kill somebody on Shabbos. Why can't you bury somebody on Shabbos?
Right. Correct. In other words, the arguments can go in either direction. That's exactly the Gemara's point. And so once the arguments can go in either direction, so Kal v'chomer is basically going to be at a stalemate. And so therefore the pasuk informs. You cannot kill him on Shabbos. In other words, the execution cannot be done on Shabbos. But via Kal v'chomer, you could argue that you could. And the Gemara says, yeah, but you can argue in either direction. Okay. Ulamai de salak adaite. Okay. In other words, mitzvah says, say, the Gemara says, has nothing to do with this braisa. This braisa is all a predicate of Kal v'chomer. Okay. So, what we just did is that we went through the braisa in the beginning of today's daf. And the Braisa is all going to be a function of Kal v'chomer, not a function of Esse Dochelos Asse. Great. The Gemara says, I would like, however, to do a callback, a throwback to the Braisa. Because remember yesterday's daf, we went through the Braisa, and yesterday, we were very happy yesterday going through the Braisa, understanding the Braisa as a function of Esse Dochelos Asse. So the Gemara says, were you really happy yesterday? Now, it happens to have been, yeah, I was pretty happy yesterday. But the Gemara says, but I don't understand. If the Braisa was really understood as a concept of Esse Dochelos Asse, what's the back and forth? Well, how come the Braisa first said, you know what, Beis Din should execute? Nah, Beis Din should not execute. No, Beis Din should execute. And then the Braisa says, Lo Sivaru Eish. In the Kal v'chomer, in the world of Kal v'chomer, it made perfect sense. We just did it. Because arguments can go in either direction. You could argue either way, and we just did. But if you want to go back to yesterday's daf where it's Esse Dochelos Asse, what's the back and forth? That's the Gemara's question. That's what the Gemara's going to respond to. Ulamai de salak adaita mi karadasi asif adochalos ase mayo enu de kamar, hachi kamar. So now what we're going to do is that we're going to treat the Braisa again. So this is for this morning, the third time we're going through the Braisa. The first time we just became familiar with the Braisa. The second time we did learned the Braisa using Kal v'chomer methodology. Now we're going to go back to the Braisa again today. And we're going to do it now using Esse Dochelos Asse and understand a little bit better what's the back and forth. Hachi Kamar. This is the back and forth. We're in Zion Mid Aleph, and we're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Ma ani mekayim mechala mos yumas b'shar malachus chutz mi mises beizdin. Ava mises beizdin dachi Shabbos asse asse v'dachi los asse. Step number one is that I know we have to keep Shabbos. It's a critical part. It's a fundamental part of Yadus. However, Beis Din has a mitzvah. The mitzvah should override Shabbos. Esse dochelos asse. That's step number one. Hada amar ema darmin an asse asse. Sorry, the asse esse v'dachi los asse los asse greida los asse sheish bokaris mishamas le d'dachi. But wait 1 second. This is not just a regular los asse. It's a los asse sheish bokaris. Maybe different. That was step number two. Step number three. Hada amar atu asse. V'docha es lo sase, lav lo sase chamer mine, v'kasi ase v'dachi le, Mali Chomra Zuta, Mali Chomra Rabba. Step number three of the Gemara is, wait 1 second. Do you know, if I were to put an essay and a losa essay side by side, which one is more chamor? Meaning, just for a moment, can we all forget that we know that the essay is going to override the losa essay? Just a side by side comparison. Which one's more chamor? So let's ask some simple questions. I violate an essay, right? I don't shake lulav. What's my punishment?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, now I violate a lav. So what's my punishment? So a range of punishment ranging anywhere from malchus to sometimes misa. Okay. So when I look at them side by side and look at it from an onus standpoint, don't you see that lav is more chamor than an essay? Oh. And meanwhile, the essay overrides a los essay. And that's even by just a standard lav. So what difference does it make? What kind of lav we're talking about? Whether it's the Gemara's language. Mali chumra zuta, mali chumra rabba. Already we're at a disadvantage. It's not a fair fight, essay los essay. Even your standard los essay is more chumra than an essay. If an essay can override a standard los essay, an essay can override a los essay that's even greater. It shouldn't make a difference. That's the back and forth. That's step number three. I recognize that this is Shabbos. I recognize it's a los essay sheish bokaris. Doesn't matter. Once the essay is overriding the los essay, it's overriding every los essay. So now that's the step number three. And that's where right now at this stage of the Brisa, we think, okay, so Basin should go ahead and execute. So Tamalam or Losivaru. So that's where the Torah comes in. Tell me Losivaru. Losivaru comes along to teach me that. That even though we can make a really strong, now I'm going to use the word argument over here. It's not an argument, meaning it's an understanding of essay doch los essay, that an essay is going to override los essay, afilu sheyesh bokaris. And if that's true, so then Basin should do it. I know Basin should do it, but Basin shouldn't do it. Why not? Because the pasuk, because of the drasha. Okay. All right. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the first section of today's daf. Where are we right now? A little bit confused. I totally understand. But where are we right now? So we are now almost at the end of a really long thread of Gemara, where the Gemara opens up its discussion all the way back on Daf Gimel Midveis. How do I know that an essay is going to be overriding a los essay? How do I know that would be true even afilu sheyesh bokaris? By Yibum, we learned together that the Isser of Eishes Ach is going to be overridden, but that's obvious because that's the mitzvah. But any other erva, you're not going to override. Why not? So the answer is because we have a drasha. That's Gimel Amud Beis. We have a drasha. Without the drasha, what would we have said? An essay would be overriding the los essay of Filu Sheish Bokaris. And what the Gemara now has been doing since that point in time, with a small detour of just establishing an essay docha los essay, is trying to understand mehechi tasting. From where do I know this? And we were all over the place in terms of trying to answer that question. Yesterday's daf was a real struggle in terms of answering that question. We went to the mitzvahs of Kibud Av Va'Em. We went to the mitzvahs of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We looked for other scenarios, other case studies in which we see where you have this conflict between essay and alos essay. So now we have studied for a good amount of time, yesterday's daf, and everything we've been doing up until today, the mitzvahs Beis Din of executing on Shabbos, where there the conclusion is that Beis Din's not allowed to do it. Is that a function of essay docha los essay? And the answer is we're unclear, we're unsure. Meaning we know the Brisa. Now the Brisa may be operating through essay docha los essay, as we just studied together, but the truth of the matter is, as the Gemara also pointed out, maybe not. Maybe the Brisa is all just a function of Kal Vachomer. Okay, so we are going to reset. Now is a perfect time to reset the Gemara's question. Why do I need the word Aleha? Why do I need Aleha? Meaning going back to the mitzvah of Yibum and going back to the drasha on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where had it not said the word Aleha, I would have thought that the mitzvah of Yibum is going to override not just Eishes Ach, but any other erva that may be introduced. Meaning, she's not only your sister-in-law, but she's also your daughter, right? Your brother married your daughter. So under those circumstances, what do we say? You can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. How do I know that? Because of the drasha. Why do I need the drasha? That's the Gemara's question. It has been the question since Daf Gimel. I know it's been a bumpy ride since that point in time, but that's been our question. Ella itzderich. So the Gemara says it's necessary. We're in Zayin Amud Aleph, we're halfway down. Salka dat chamina tave hai esha sach davashaya bechavi yatsam in a klal lamed. Lo lamed atzma yatsa lamed al klal kula yatsa. So the Gemara says we're at rule number 8. When I say rule number 8, what am I referring to? The methodologies of Rabbi Yishmael. So it's in the Siddur. It's actually the introduction to the Sifra. But it's in the Siddur. You're going to find it right before Pesukah de Zimra. So there are 13 different methodologies. Some of them the Gemara uses again and again. It's almost like a daily discourse in the Daf. Right? Kal v'chomer, Gzeira Shava, Binyan Av. So those are the Hekesh. Well, Hekesh actually, interestingly, is not one of the 13. Okay, so, sorry for mentioning it. But in other words, those are the popular ones. So what are the unpopular ones? The unpopular ones are the latter in the list, right? The latter in the list, I did some research last night, but I didn't do all my research. How many times are we going to be studying number 8, which is what we're doing right now? How many times are we studying number 11, which is what we're going to be doing in just a couple minutes from now? And it's really rare. In other words, there are rules of methodology. There are tools in the toolbox in terms of how to darshan the Torah. And some of the tools are just not used that often. Okay? So here we are now in rule number 8. D'tanya. Now, I read it really quickly, but the example over here will really illustrate. So let's give an example. Now, it happens to be this week's parsha. Oh, that's exciting. So in this week's parsha, so if a person eats carbon shlamim and he's tameh, so we know that if you eat carbon while in a state of tumas aguf, that is a serious offense. Serious offense, what is it? It's a lav sheish bo kares. Now, v'alo shlamim bechlal kachim hayu v'lama yatsu. Now, as far as kachim is concerned, it's bechlal. Meaning, as Rashi points out over here, we already have the Torah articulating and telling us that if you have tumas aguf and you eat carbon, you're subject to kares. So why does the Torah have to specify over here by shlamim? To teach me the following, and that is that it only applies to kachem mizbech, not kachem bedek abayis. If you were tamei and you consume kachem bedek abayis, so how do you consume kachem bedek abayis? It's actually really simple. Someone dedicated a food, something consumable, but not to the mizbech, but rather to bedek abayis. Okay, right? Any food item that can't be brought up onto the mizbech. So by definition, it's going to be kachem bedek abayis. And you eat it. Now, granted, by the way, there is a me'ila discussion to have. We're not having the me'ila discussion right now. We're just simply saying that you're not going to be subject to kares. How do I know that? The pasuk and parshat Tzav. So this is an example of a davar, shahaya bechlal. In other words, we already knew it because of the general principle. And v'yatsam in aklal lamed. And it's coming to teach us something new. And lo lalamed alatzmo yatsa, it's not just teaching it regarding, it's the example, the specific example, lo lalamed ala klal kulo yatsa. It's coming to teach regarding everything as well. Hachinami. So now, let's take that rule. This is the 8th rule, the 8th methodology, and let's try to plug it in over here. Ha, ishatach b'chlama, kol ha-reis, ha-isa v'lama yatsa lakish aleha, v'lama l'chama, ishatach sharya, av kol, arayos, nami, sharyan. So, what do we have? The arayos, which are all prohibited. And by Yibam, what happened? Ish Yisach becomes mutter. Oh, if Ish Yisach becomes mutter because of the mitzvah of Yibam, shouldn't all the other arayos become mutter as well? And basically, if I use my 8th methodology, tool number 8, so can't we unlock now every one of the other arayos? So the Gemara says, nope. In other words, the tool does not fit. In other words, you're using the wrong tool. So me dummy. Hasam klal be'isr or prat be'isr. Because if you look at the prototype, which we just saw together, about the carbon shlamim and you eat it b'tumas aguf, so what's the rule? What was the notable example? The rule is that you can't eat karbanos in a state of tumas aguf. That's the rule. And then what's the notable example? Shlamim. But it's both highlighting you can't, meaning it's isr, and then the specific example is also isr. Over here, the general rule is that you're not allowed to be intimate with any one of the arayos. And then what's the specific example? Oh, but by Yibam, we have an exception where you are allowed to. You're going in the different direction. This is not the right tool over here. So, halodami ella davar shabachal v'yatzal adam b'davar chadash shi'atayachol achzir lechlalo ad shi'achzirin lecha akasov b'feirush. So the Gemara says, if anything, you know what this is comparable to? Rule number 11. It's a fun daf today. In other words, of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rabbi Yishmael, so we get to discuss today numbers 8 and 11, rules that we normally do not see throughout Shas. So over here, D'Tanya. So first of all, let's give an example of rule number 11, the prototype, if you will. Where are we right now? We're in Parshas Metzora. And what are we learning about? The karbanos that are brought by the Metzora at the conclusion of his saras. So he brings a selection of karbanos, including a karban asham. His collection of karbanos that he brings is a asham, chatas, and an ola. Okay. Shein tam alamar ke chatas ha asham. So, and the Torah says, you know, the asham is going to be like the chatas, right? The Torah needs to tell me that. So, ma tam alamar ke chatas ha asham, lefi shiatsa asham, mitzara, lidon bedavar chadash, bebon yadu vavon regal ha yamanis. Oh. Because, I'll tell you why the Torah has to do that. Because, you know what happens by the asham? Something really strange happens by the asham. Kohen shechs the karban asham, takes some of the blood of the karban asham, and instead of giving an application to the mizbeach, the kohen takes the blood and reroutes it. And do you know what he applies it to? He applies it to the actual mitzvah himself. Now, if we saw this, by the way, this would be a really strange scene. The kohen standing in the azar mitzvah is standing right outside the door of the sharni kanor. And what the kohen now is going to do is take the blood and apply to the right thumb of the mitzvah, right toe of the mitzvah, right earlobe of the mitzvah. Okay. And those appendages are going to be inserted through the doorway, which we're going to be discussing in more detail tomorrow. But right now, here's the basic point of rule number 11. So we just did something really unusual with the blood. It's a chiddush. Chiddush in the sense, everything in the Torah is a chiddush. Chiddush in the sense that it goes against the regular rules of karbanos. By carbon, after you shech the animal and collect the blood. So what do we do? We make a direct route to the mizbeach, sprinkle it on the mizbeach. And here we are, the Torah's instructions is take the blood of the carbon ashram of the mitzvah, and don't go to the mizbeach, right? Instead of making a line to the mizbeach, we go straight to the doorway, and we apply to the mitzvah. That's a chiddush. So now, yachlo yeheton matan damen v'imorim legabe mizbeach. So once we have a chiddush, so here's what I would have thought. Okay, so this is unusual. So now, I'm not going to take any more of the blood of this karban asham and bring it to the mizbeach, meaning over here, the Torah just provided us a chiddush. So, tamad lomar, ki kachatas ha'asham hu, ma'chatas tu namatan damin v'imurim legabe mizbeach ha'fasham, tamatan damin v'imurim legabe mizbeach. So that's why the Torah has to say, I know it's unusual, but come back. Meaning, and bring it back to the mizbeach. Kachatas ka'asham. The Torah has to go out of its way now to reintroduce it, to bring it back to the regular rules of karbanos. So here's what we're learning together in rule number 11. If the Torah goes and gives us something unusual, a chiddush, so I would then say it is now outside of the regular rules, unless the Torah brings it back to the regular rules, right? Dover, shaya b'chlal, just you get to hear it. You can't bring it back to the regular rules unless the Torah tells you to do so straight out. So this is rule number 11. Now, rule number 11 applied to Yibum. The Gemara says, sure, with pleasure. So almost. First, the Gemara is just simply making the point, which is that had the Torah not reintroduced Asham back into the world of Chatas, so he would have said, okay, so the blood is only going to be sprinkled on the Mitzorah. And the Torah says, no, the Torah brings it back. Hachanami, so over here by Yibum, same. Or at least we think it's the same. Hav, I mean, Eshesach, the Ishtarei, Ishtarei, Shar Arayos. Look, Eshesach, so that's unusual. Meaning, what is the Torah normal position regarding Eshesach? She's an Erva. You can't be with her. But by Yibum, we have a Dever Chadash. We have a novel idea. The Torah is allowing an Eshesach. Oh, so now we have a Dever Chadash. So what is it? What do we know by rule number 11? Once you have Dever Chadash, so that's it. In other words, it bucks the trends of the regular rules. The Eshesach is Mutter. Oh, the Eshesach is Mutter. So how about this? How about every Erva should be Mutter? She's Eshesach and she's her daughter. She's Eshesach and she's her aunt. and go through any one of the scenarios that we pointed out in the first mission of the Masechta. So that if I were to use rule number 11, so that's what we would have said. But they're an erva. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's a davar chadash, and e atar rishar lachziro ad sheachzerin lecha kasa beferish. Unless the Torah brings it back to the regular rules. So here we are in the world of exception of chiddush. So the Gemara says lo. So shai rai is lo. I'm sorry. Di shari shari shai rai is lo. Elasaka dacha tesi bemematzinu. I'm sorry. So the okay, fine. So that's if we were going to employ anything, we would employ that rule. And so that is where so not rule number 8, but rather rule number 11. So Elasalka dat chamina tesi bemematzinu. Me'eshes ach. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about just mematzino? Meaning, we tried today, this morning, to apply rule number 8. We tried to apply rule number 11. How about mematzino? Now, mematzino most probably is binyanav, which, by the way, is one of the first rules of the Yugimel Midos. It's Gzereshava, Kavachom, Gzereshava, binyanav. Okay, so it's binyanav. Now, what is binyanav? Binyanav is very simple. Binyanav is basically a precedent. So over here, we have a precedent. So well, you know, if she is your brother's wife, which she was, obviously, so you could do yibum. So okay, so she happens to be your wife's sister. Okay, so do yibum as well. So mi dami, meaning in the case where two brothers marry two sisters. So the Gemara says not comparable. So the Gemara says, well, you know what? I know it's comparable, but it's not comparable. Because if she's just Eshetzach, that's one erva. If she's Eshetzach and she's Achos Ishto, so then that's two Arayos. So the Binyanav, if anything, tells me that you can violate one erva. But the Binyanav cannot tell me that you can violate two Arayos. So the Gemara says, and we're going to end off this morning with the following, Mao Detema Hovi Shtari Ishtarye. So the Gemara says, well, once the Torah allows one erva, maybe the Torah allows multiple Arayos. And here's where we're going to pause, and tomorrow we're going to have a really healthy discussion of if the Torah gives an allowance for one, so maybe that means that would allow for more allowances as well. This is a rule of hold, yishtari, yishtari. It's tomorrow's daf. It starts here, but this is where we're going to pause.
That's why you need Oleo to say that you need that.
Yeah. So let's quickly recap. So today's daf opened up a little bit difficult, a little bit challenging. We went back to yesterday's Brisa. The Brisa says that based in when having the opportunity to execute on Shabbos, what do they do? So we quoted a Brisa. The Brisa really goes back to yesterday's daf. The Brisa vacillates back and forth, ping-ponging between yes, no, right? Literally, that's how the Brisa went. But the conclusion was no, but based on the Pasuk. But the Brisa said yes, then no, then yes. And then finally the Pasuk. So how did you understand that Brisa? So over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf, so we understood the Brisa on one of two avenues. One is that the Brisa was all predicated on Kavachomer. You can argue this way, you can argue that way. And we went through the Kavachomers. I'm not going to do it again right now, but that's avenue number one. And because we can argue in either direction, the Pasuk comes to teach me this is the way we're going to do it. Meaning Beis Din will not execute on Shabbos. Alternatively, it is a predicate of Ese Docha Lo Sase. How are we arguing back and forth? Very simple. Esei dochalosa say that's the rule. That would be yes. But this is a lav sheish bo kares. It's Shabbos. Therefore, no. Then the Brisa says, but wait one second. Why should it make a difference? What difference does it make? What kind of lav is it? The essay in general is not stronger than lav, and it overrides the lav. So what difference should it make? That would be yes. Then the Torah says, lo sevaru esh. Okay. That is two different ways to understand the Brisa. The Gemara then goes back and resets the question. Why do I need the word aleha? Why do I need aleha? So, a number of reasons why. Maybe because yibum could be understood by applying rule number 8 of the Yigimel Midosh HaTor Nedreshet Bahem. The Gemara says no. It's not comparable. Rule number 8 is when we're heading in the same direction of Isser and Isser. Rule number 11. Rule number 11 is good because it's a davar hechadash. This is a novel idea. Arayis or Asser. The Torah says over here it's mutter. That's good. The Gemara liked that. So it's a Devar HaChadash, and therefore, unless the Torah tells you and goes out of its way to tell you that that we're going to bring it back to the regular rules, I would say that Yibam is a rule breaker. And therefore, it allows Eshetzach, it allows other Arayis as well. That's very good. That's why I need aleha. Alternatively, the Gemara says, maybe it's a binyanav. If a shesach is mutter, shouldn't all the other arayas be mutter? So the Gemara says, what kind of binyanav is it? In other words, a shesach is one erva. We're talking about two arayas. That's different. So the Gemara says, well, we do have a principle of holy vishtari yishtari. Well, once the Torah allows, and then the allowances just continue. How do I know this? That's why you're going to come back tomorrow. Okay.